You Vaitova shampoo and so on when you get to the point that you're contemplating sense objects. If you're already at that point, that's already a danger. That's a danger point. It's like, with your physical health, there are certain signs that could be seen as danger points if you allow yourself to go so far. All right? I did this once with a tooth where probably if I would have got a filling at a certain point, it would have I just would have had. If I've got my tooth checked out at a certain point, it would just had a filling. But I waited, then I had to have a root canal. So I should have taken care of it. So it's like the Dayatova Shayampunsa means we're contemplating sense objects. Even at that point, even though it's just the beginning, it's really not the beginning. It's really much more than the beginning. It's that who contemplates sense objects? Well, you contemplate sense objects when you're not doing well in Krishna consciousness. So the fact that we're contemplating, even though it's the first stage in the progression of this verse, it's already really beyond the first stage. And so ideally, in Krishna consciousness, you want to be in a stage where what you're contemplating is Krishna. You're not contemplating sense gratification. And so that's the pre-production stage where you're always keeping yourself as far as possible on the Krishna conscious side. Otherwise, when you get over the edge, then you're on the contemplation side. And then, so that's dangerous because what's the next stage of contemplation? Dayatova shapun sangat te shubhajayate. Sangat means attachment. So one thing is contemplating sense gratification, but being attached to it, what kind of Krishna consciousness is that? How Krishna conscious can you be attached to sense gratification? So, but it's only a step away from contemplation. So that's why I'm saying contemplation is already pretty far down the road, and it is a dangerous place to be in because it's so close to attachment. And attachment is so close to lust, which is the actual act of doing what you're contemplating. So we go back to the concept of pre-production. In pre-production, you're preventing yourself from going that far in the first place. And then you're in a much safer condition. And then you understand, well, I have certain weaknesses, so I have to prevent myself from being in any way controlled or enamored or affected by those weaknesses. So you may have the weaknesses, but you're smart enough not to be in a situation that would agitate those weaknesses. It's like, maybe you have a certain allergy, a certain illness. So there's certain things you just don't do, certain climates you may not go in, certain foods you may not eat, because if you do, then you'll get an allergic reaction. And just like some people are allergic to mangoes, the juice of the mango or the skin of the mango causes their skin to get rashes. So they just stay away from that. That's common sense. So I think there's certain things in the material world, excuse me, that we're all allergic to. Certain forms of Maya that I may be more allergic to than you are, or you may be more allergic than I am. And so we need to know what those are, because those tend to be the things that we'll contemplate. Because you really don't contemplate things that you're not attracted to, and you'll tend to contemplate the things you're most attracted to. Right? Does that make sense? So those are the things we're allergic to, and so therefore those are the things we want to keep away from us as far as possible. So if you have any questions, please ask, particularly questions that relate to your own challenges. And I'm going to read something else. This is from the third canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the translation. There is no defeat in this material world for persons who control the mind and senses by controlling the breathing process and who are therefore experienced, mature mystics. This is because by such perfection in yoga, they have attained your mercy. So that's interesting. There's no defeat for persons who have controlled their minds. So let's read the purport. The purpose of the yogic performance is explained here. It is said that an experienced mystic attains full control of the senses and the mind by controlling the breathing process. Therefore, controlling the breathing process is not the ultimate aim of yoga. The real purpose of yogic performances is to control the mind and senses. Anyone who has such control is to be understood to be an experienced, mature yogi. Okay, listen to the next thing. I've got it underlined. It must be important if I underlined it. It is indicated herein that a yogi who has control over the mind and senses has the actual benediction of the Lord, and he has no fear. Wow, that answers your question, Carol. One who has control of the mind and senses has no fear. In other words, one cannot attain the mercy and benediction of the Supreme Lord until one is able to control the mind and the senses. Wow, let me read that again. It is indicated herein that a yogi who has control over the mind and senses has the actual mercy and benediction of the Supreme. And he has no fear. In other words, one cannot attain the mercy and benediction of the Supreme Lord, until one is able to control the mind and senses. That's pretty interesting, that you can't get mercy without controlling the mind and senses. Let's read on. This is actually possible when one fully engages in Krishna consciousness. In other words, what's possible is that you can't control the mind and senses. A person whose senses and mind are always engaged in the transcendental service of the Lord has no possibility of engaging in material activities. The devotees of the Lord are not defeated anywhere in the universe. It is stated Narayana Parayana or Narayana Paraha. Paraha. Narayana Paraha Sarve. One who is a Narayana Para or a devotee of the Supreme Personality of God is not afraid anywhere, whether he is sent to hell or promoted to heaven. Narayana parasarve nakutasthana bibhyati swarga pavarga narakeshu api tuyartatam darshana. He sees heaven and hell equally. So we understand, we know this, that we can live within this material world, but actually our consciousness can be somewhere else. It can be at Krishna's feet. Of course, you could be at Krishna's feet and your consciousness can be in the material world. So it's not where you reside physically, but it's where your consciousness resides. So this verse is talking about that. That a devotee, he really resides at the feet of Krishna. So, and because he is self-controlled, then he gets the mercy of Krishna. And even though we're reading this, I haven't read this in a long time, and we're reading it now, this is a very prominent thought in my life, that I always intuitively feel that the more I'm disciplined, the more I follow the orders of Srila Prabhupada, the more I control myself, naturally the more mercy will come to me. Even without asking for mercy, it's just mercy comes by following the order of the Guru. And mercy comes by following the injunction of Shastra. So I always feel that. Whenever I'm tempted to get a little slack, something goes off, some voice goes off in me and says, you're not going to get mercy. And really, if you look at the life of a devotee, what makes a devotee happy is when he's getting the mercy of Guru and Krishna. Then he's happy because he's advancing or she's advancing in Krishna consciousness. So she or he is happy. And that's how we advance. And if we don't follow that well, then we don't get so much mercy. And we're not really happy. Certainly we're not happy when the mind is disturbed, when we're battling with the mind. It's quite a miserable condition to be in. To be at odds with your mind, to have your mind in control of your life. And really you could say, well, you really need mercy to do that. So it's like, you need mercy to control yourself, and if you don't control yourself, you won't get mercy. So there's no way around it here. And self-control is really an essential principle. But, of course, what Prabhupada is making the point here is that self-control will come as a byproduct of bhakti. of engagement. So if we have a lot of time on our hands that it's not being used in Krishna's service, it's going to be more difficult to control the mind. That's what's being said here. Okay. So Carol says we can hear bhajans or